If you are single or you're dating and you're frustrated and you want to call in your person, you're like, man, what's wrong with me that I keep attracting these unavailable people or this other type of person, but that's not what I want. Why do I run from available people? Okay, listen, there's nothing wrong with you that you do that. And so when you recognize that you're unconsciously pursuing a certain type of relationship dynamic, you know that it's from a protective mechanism, because if you were to choose, for example, available people, you'd now have to open your heart. You wouldn't be able to predict what's going to happen, because you can predict that with an unavailable person, you're never going to go all the way there. You're never going to go as deep as you're capable of, because you're afraid, because what lives next to the depth is pain. And if you think about it, even if you avoid relationships, you're like, I'm not going to date anymore. I'm not going to relate anymore. I'm just done with relationships. What happens is the wound and the pain that creates that perspective is festering and living in your life, because it's actually preventing you from getting close to people again. If you continue to choose unavailable people, what's happening is the wound is ruling your life. And what I do know is when people go deep into the exploration of this, they understand where the pattern comes from, right? Like, you go to, where did I learn that and why do I do that? That's great. That gives you understanding. But the rubber really hits the road when you make different choices. But to make different choices, you have to have the capacity in your nervous system to choose something different. And so I'm launching a program on June 1st that starts right away. And there's only 40 spots. And it's going to be navigating the brain part, the psychological part of understanding what shapes you, why do you do what you do in a relationship, what would you like to do, and then how do you do that? But on top of all that, I've partnered with renowned somatic practitioner Nicole Lose, who's my somatic practitioner, and we created this program together where we have weekly live teaching calls that are 2.5 hours, where there is going to be group coaching, group teaching, group interaction. And then Nicole has 2 open office hours throughout that 4 weeks as well. It's going to be an incredible time. It's going to change your life, because where we most miss is that we learn the why, but in order to do something differently, we have to learn the somatic, the nervous system part of it, on how to actually create capacity for something different, how to actually move through what's holding us back. So if you are looking to change your dating life, learn how to call in the person that you deeply desire, but not just call them in, actually be able to hold that relationship with them, then this is for you. Go to createthelove.com/regulatedromance, SP, Sam, S as in Sam, P as in Paul. So regulated romance SP, createthelove.com/regulatedromance SP, and go save your spot now. We get started next week. So if this sounds like something you're really into and you're ready to put your patterns behind and finally bring change to your life, where you could say goodbye to what you used to do and welcome in the relationship you've always desired, let's go.
Hello, hello, hello. What's happening, friends? Yeah, I'm thinking about the thing that has been coming up for me most, or like resonant, is this sense that sometimes we can be feel really frustrated with the way that life is working, feel frustrated with the things that are the outcomes of our lives, the outcomes of our dating, the outcomes of our relationships, the outcomes of our work. And, you know, I say this because I'm in the middle of I shouldn't be in the middle, but I should be because I am. So I'll just change that language, of a renovation. And this renovation has been ongoing for a long time. And on Monday, no, Tuesday, the plumbing backed up in the basement. And I was lucky because I was shop backing it and I didn't have to shop back anyone's logs, thank God. But, you know, TMI there. But hey, no one wants to be down in there shop backing someone's tubular experience. So it was probably pee and water and sink water and stuff. Let's just go with that so I feel better about I used the bathroom far before the clog, so thank God. But I had this moment of just complete overwhelm of like, this renovation has taken way longer than I want. My furnace doesn't work yet because the renovation parts that have a lot of dust are not complete. Everything is just like moving at a glacial pace. And when the sewer backed up, I had this recognition of like, have you guys ever read the book, The Surrender Experiment by Michael Singer? So that book is very much about how life kept delivering him hits, lawsuit, I mean, lots of stuff. And when he finally surrendered, life really started to flow. And there's a few things that have come forward for me in this lesson. And the first one is that I recognize that so much of my suffering has been created from the belief that it should be different than it is, that the renovation should be done, that there's an alternate reality that exists that I'm not getting the privilege of experiencing. So I'm suffering in this one while there's Mark enjoying a basement that's complete in another dimension. And I'm really happy for that version of me. He's probably chilling out, enjoying his gym and all the things. But I also recognize that not being able to go in the basement, not having the renovations complete, has had me in different circumstances, in different conversations, in different places. And I'm meeting different people because, you know, I got these like great people coming and working in the basement that I've never met. And I've had really beautiful conversations. And the yard is beautiful. I'll have to send you guys a video of it. But it's like it's not a big yard, but it's like a Garden of Eden. It's so beautiful. The people who lived here cultivated the garden for like 30 years. And I don't know anything about gardening. So I was like, do I pluck that? Do I leave that? My mom's like, that's not a weed. And you know, there's that saying, weeds are flowers too. And I'm like, they are, but let's be honest. I started to think a lot about when the way you want life to work, it can feel like you're pushing a big rock up a big hill. And I would say that most of us spend our time there. And that is interesting, that we spend our time resisting reality. And that's why so much of my work is about getting right with reality. You know, I was working with this woman the other day who was previously in an abusive relationship. And we were talking about the way that she's relating today. And there was a great conversation of the recognition that she enrolls people that she needs to take care of, or that she needs to be taken care of by. And so when we got to it of like, oh, you created this, like, who are you without being the maiden, like in distress, who needs someone to ride in? Because in some way you're like validating the other person's experience that they need to save you, and they get some sort of validation from that. And we were holding the complexity that there were some behaviors that she had that were actually highly manipulative. But this is the strange paradox to hold with being a martyr. I think about it like this. The martyr presents as being powerless in relation to the person who's exploiting the power. But what's actually happened is the person who is creating the martyrdom is actually the puppet master above, because they're creating the power dynamic. Do you see that? And again, like, obviously there's a lot of complexity to the experience of something like an abusive relationship, because of course it's not anyone's fault. There's no victim blaming in this. And the opportunity in any relationship dynamic, and I see this is a similar construct to the anxious avoidant dance, is that when the anxious person recognizes that they're actually highly manipulative, then they actually can free themselves. Because if she sees that she often creates relationship dynamics that make her powerless, and in some way she's actually positioning the men to feel significant, she has to give up her significance. And if we can be compassionate for that she learned that at a very young age, then what we can do, because if I say that's not manipulative and we don't own the truth, then what happens is the little girl in her who had to learn to be manipulative is again being invalidated. So through the recognition of the unconscious manipulation that is the best she could do at the time, now if you can say, I chose these circumstances on some level, even if it's not conscious, then that means I cannot choose them. But if everything in your life is just fate, then how do you ever make conscious choices? What's the point? And the way that it's hard for the complexity of the psyche to hold it, because we live in a very binary culture, in that to be empowered does not mean to negate or to not validate. So can I be empowered and also have been the victim of circumstances? Yes. And this is why it's so hard to have this conversation when it's about something like abuse, of course, because there's so much already the psyche has been so exploited by power exploiters, right? Like that's what's going on in those dynamics. And think of a relationship with a narcissist. There's very much like self-worth that is in control. Like the narcissist feels like the person with the putty, like shaping the other person's self-worth and deciding like, I'm going to get some sourcing from you. I'm going to discard you. I'm going to bring you back. If I do that, I'm in charge of how you feel about you. So you need me to feel good, but I'm also going to make it so you need me to feel bad. Because if you feel bad, then you need to feel good. And if I'm in charge of both of those dynamics, then I'm in charge of you. But here's the interesting thing. If you go, okay, well, on some level, I'm agreeing to those dynamics. So if I'm agreeing to those dynamics, I can now not agree to them. Again, it doesn't come with the negating of the victimization. It's actually saying in the experience of victimization, I can now access choice that I couldn't access before from the level of awareness I had, the imprint of my wounds. So I say all of this because I started to really consider when life is not working or what you're doing is not working, go back to what you know. Brandon Collingsworth talks about this all the time. It's a Buddhist doctrine, which is chop wood and carry water. Every day, wake up, chop wood and carry water. When you don't know what to do, chop wood and carry water. And think about that coming back to what you know. I went for a walk today for a meeting, which is great, a moving meeting. And I was in the forest by the river. And as I walked into the forest, I felt my whole system just go. And I was like, oh, that's what I needed. Sometimes I forget. I'm like, isn't that the gift? If you forget something, it means you get to remember it again. And you also figure out where you forget, like what makes you forget. Because so often we'll be like, I thought I did the work. I thought I figured that out. I was working with a couple where the guy was saying, like, I know healing is forever. And I was like, healing's not forever. Transformation's forever. But like, if we're always thinking I always have to heal, then you always have to have something to heal. So you never transition out of the self-perception of brokenness. And it's so easy to come back to that. But if it's like what you know, and it's how you connect with people, and it's how you relate to yourself, like punitively, like I'm a problem, wait till people figure it out, I'm a fraud, let me get, oh, I got another thing I got to read, I got another thing I got to do. And I was saying to him, like, fundamentally what exists below all the ways you see things is that you're broken. And so is it true? And I was like, when do you feel at your best? He's like, playing tennis. I'm like, do you feel broken when you play tennis? He's like, no. It's like, you forget, don't you? Because you're in flow. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, you know what happens when you're in flow? Your prefrontal cortex shuts down. What's your prefrontal cortex? Oh, it's in charge of who you are. So who you are disappears, and then you just are. And then you don't have this fundamental belief that was implanted in you by your parents or society or culture or all of the above. And I said to him, your assignment is to become the curator of your mind. To become the assertive monitor of your thoughts. And of course, your well-being is directly correlated to the amount of CNN you watch or Fox or whatever. It doesn't even matter. Your well-being is directly correlated to the amount of ideological stuff you spend your life advocating for, because you just keep recreating the trauma triangle. And you know, that's the part of what might be called sacred activism, which is really wounded activism. Like, you could lose your whole life being an activist. And I'm not saying there shouldn't be activism, just so we're clear. And I'm not saying there's not things worth fighting for. But when you trade your own well-being for those things, is it actually worth it? And like, we could all get mad till the cows come home about a lot of things. But isn't that the purpose of all of it anyways, is to rob you of the presence and the ability to be in connection with other people and believe that because they're a Democrat or a Republican, you can't have a conversation with them? How fucking ridiculous is that? I was talking to my neighbors the other day. They're in their 70s, and he was going off about, we just had an election, and he said, you know, this neighborhood complains about everything. And him and I are probably like politically aligned, although I didn't get into it. But he said, and then this neighborhood votes in the same people. What did Einstein say? You know, he's telling me this. And he's like that guy who watches the neighborhood. You know, that guy, like he's been there 35 years. God bless these people. They're great. Because they're like, there was someone parked in front of your house the other day. I took his license plate. You know, like that kind of person. And he said, oh, my wife, she's NDP is like really far left in Canada. And he's like, my wife's the NDP. And she's like, I have to tell him I don't vote that way. So I'm like, oh, you guys are married and you have completely different political views. And they're like, yeah. And they're like, we shouldn't talk about politics, though. And I was like, here's my promise to you. I don't care who you vote for. I'll love you as my neighbor. I actually want to know who you vote for. I want to know why you vote that way. I want to know why you are the way you are. And I want to know that our relationship will endure all of that. Isn't that the hope we have for everything? Like, it's such a farce, this made up construct about politics, which then has all these ideological alignments, then determines who your friends are. Like, isn't that the whole point? Is to actually make you not keep friends who think differently. And then social media just amplifies that. Yet in the research on couples, 69% of the things that couples fight most about are fundamental differences that can't be reconciled. And so they have to do the work to find the positive orientation to their differences. Like, my wife stacks the dishwasher like a raccoon on meth. I am a Swedish architect. I was sharing this the other day. It's like we are so fundamentally different in that. And in that transcends to life where I'm the messier one and she's actually the cleaner one, which is totally ironic. But that's actually the thing I love about her, because she brings structure to my chaos. And I bring chaos to her structure, and somehow the dishwasher is the place where I don't. I know it makes no sense. But like, isn't that, like, all of it works if it keeps you separated. Just like your wound keeps you separated from your truth, just like your wound keeps you separated from other people. And then you realize that traditionally, when we didn't have smartphones and the ability to fly around the world, our geography and our community was available by horseback, and then, you know, by foot, horseback, and then buggy, and then, right? Like, you couldn't date five people because you had to, like, ride a horse to the other person's house. And their dad would for sure kill you if you fucked them over. Now, there's not as many consequences to these types of things. It's changed the landscape of relating, but we have to, on some level, maintain some sort of decorum of what it means to be human and see the value in diverse thought and the value of hard experiences. Because if you experience things like sadness and grief and anger, then the taste of joy and possibility and adventure is so much greater. If your baseline is only positive, first, you're full of shit. And second, it makes life not as rich. And so this woman I was working with, she said, I thought I did all this. I didn't think I'd end up in what feel like the same circumstances. And it's like, well, you are here. So like, what are you going to do? You got to eat everything that's on your plate. And I always think, like, life hands you what you can handle. And I got to say, I've been handed more stuff than I want to handle. But I said to my wife in the middle of the, not in the middle of it, but just after I finished, I was probably covered in pee, but after I finished vacuuming the sewage, I should qualify that it was sewage before I say I was probably covered in pee while we were talking. That would be a bad soundbite. I said to her, can you just co-regulate with me for a second? Like, I need help holding this. And then when we made eye contact in that moment, then I could be emotional. That's why it's emotional now, because it was like, I needed that. Because I wanted to get overwhelmed and yell. And I don't even do that, which is, you know, part of it. But to be able to actually experience it and express it. And that could be done with anybody. That doesn't have to be your romantic partner. To be honest, it could be done with your dog. But to say, like, I just need you to just be with me. And, you know, I see this whenever I run workshops, that someone gets emotional and someone wants to cry and they're sharing something they're going through. And inevitably, there's always someone usually sitting beside them who's like, oh my God, like holding them. And I'm like, no, like, let them first. Because the person who wants to go hold them is someone who has a hard time watching people hurt. So they're really trying to prevent them from feeling so they don't have to feel. So it's a little bit of a selfish endeavor, but it looks really nice. And then there's a moment where the person, after they've expressed it, actually wants a hand on them or doesn't, or like wants to just be sat in silence and just be held energetically, or maybe held with a hug. So I say all of that to just have you reflect before we dive in further to like all the ways in which you are trying to fight against what is true and all the ways that your suffering is actually because you just have not accepted reality. And that parts of that is like, oh, I actually do choose those types of people, or I can be manipulative. I can be. Are you kidding me? I was a master. I still can be a master. I like know all of people's psyche, so I can like fuck with people, but I don't. But when I had my shadow unexplored, yeah, it was what made me a womanizer. And I was honest. See, that's the key, is I like knew what vulnerability and honesty was. And I knew that if I like checked these boxes of expression and transparency, I could have them be an agency. But unconsciously, I was often taking advantage of people who wanted more from me. And I didn't know I was doing that till I knew that. And then I had to clean it up. Just like we'll present as being aligned with something when we're not. And like, who would you be if you weren't trying to make something different than it is? And what would you believe about yourself if you stopped staying in a circumstance that reinforces something about you that's familiar? I'm too much. I want too much. I'm too sensitive. I'm too needy. My standards are too high. I'm broken. I mean, I really think that at the core of all addictions is that, is the suffering of an unresolved, unrecognized, unintegrated, unwitnessed truth. And, you know, there's that saying from James Hillman that you don't go to therapy to have what's broken fixed. You go to have what's broken blessed, because there's nothing to fix. You know, and there's so many, you know, I've worked with this guy who suffered so much as a kid, felt really unattuned to, and his father was an activist, but never noticed his suffering, yet fought for the world's suffering. And you think of what that leaves for a kid, and then who becomes an adult who hasn't reconciled that truth. So, oh, my dad did so much good. Great. Does 8-year-old you feel that way? No. Okay. That's where the work lies. Don't deny your reality. And as adults, we just rationalize it. Mom was overwhelmed. Dad was an alcoholic. She was a single parent. He was, whatever it is. And it's like the kid in you doesn't give a fuck about your rationalizations. And there is not enough Jack Daniels to resolve that. Although it can feel like there is. There's not enough gummies, both candy and THC. And maybe that's what psychedelics offers on some level, although there's not enough of those either. But it does, if you set the intention or not, it does introduce you to yourself. And I should say reintroduce. All right.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.